I'm excited. We've never had you speak before, and so I'm kind of secretly hoping that this could be a regular occurrence, and so we're anticipating that. So would you guys give a warm, powerful welcome to Pastor Josh?
Hugger.
Yes. Well, he didn't mention, I didn't tell him earlier, he was asking me some questions. I was the mascot in high school as well. He was a Trojan warrior. You were too?
I was too.
Come on, any other fellow mascots? Yes. That's right. And we had a collegiate baseball team in my hometown, and I was a woodchuck. So in that thing, during the summer, it would get so stanky at the baseball diamond, I'd stand in the beer cooler to cool down. Because it was so stinky. I didn't drink any of that, never did all that. But, I was this goody two-shoes all the way through. Now, I was a little nervous of coming down tonight because I didn't know how to dress. I mean, I don't own skinny. Actually, I do own skinny jeans. Every pair of my jeans is skinny because I just am a fat guy. So I just slide under them. And I'm like, what do I wear? What do I do? And I'm like, man, you can't go wrong with a gray sweater and all that kind of stuff. So that's about it. So. Uh-oh. Jay's back there fixing things, putting them together. It is good. Hey, he said something, Andy said something about, we pastored a church in Toledo area. We went to this church, and my wife and I were 29 years ago. It was 10 years ago, so that makes me 39. Oh, I've been saved just about as long as some of you have been alive, or longer. It's this big year. I turned 40 years old in just a couple months, in 7-8 months. My wife turns 40 first, so she robbed the cradle is what I say, by 4 months. So we just, 4 months, hey, I've got to let her, I let her go for it. Sometimes I say, hey, you're my old lady, and we'll just go with that. Listen, you can tell her that. I'm all right. But I have the privilege to pastor a church called The Dwelling Place. It's not a big church at all by any means. But a couple years ago, we were 125 people. We said, we're gonna focus in on another community just a couple miles away, and we decided to plant a church in a small farming community just outside of where we were at. And then we said, you know what, man, this went so well. We decided to do another one on the east side of Toledo, and it was just kind of stupidity after a while. We were following the leading of the Holy Spirit. And end up planting another one down in the Columbus area. And the whole time, our main church is only about 120 people. And today it's actually smaller than that because we send people out and just go for it. So we're not some big mega church. I'm just a real guy. I'm a follower of Christ, a husband to my wife, Stacy. She's from Texas. So if you ever hear if I say fixin', that means I'm about to do something, okay? So if I say that little interpretation, the difference between naked and naked, anybody heard that? If you're naked, you just don't have any clothes on. If you're naked, you're naked and you're up to no good. So that's the difference of y'all, all right? So those are the difference of those two. If I say y'all, y'all is singular and all y'all is plural, okay? All right, those are the big words that I figured out there. So my wife is from Texas, and the whole thing that we're talking about tonight, about the Holy Spirit, who is the Holy Spirit? She grew up Baptist, and the Holy Spirit was a foreign concept to the format that we're talking about tonight. But God had an amazing encounter in her life, and we've ended up at a Bible college in Florida. That's where we met. She got, at Bible college, you get your MRS degree. Your missus, you get married, all right? That's what happens. Some Bible colleges say no ring by spring or your money back guarantee. That's just kind of how that goes. But I'm a dad to A, B, and C, Aiden, Bryce, and Kaylin. Whew. My oldest, Aiden, he is 16, just started driving. He works for Chick-fil-A, and come on, some CFA. In fact, if I had my keys here, I'm in the 100 fan club where I show up when they grand open and I get free chicken for a year. I actually have a video of me doing Shake It Off by Taylor Swift. I was Taylor Swift at the last grand opening I was at. Yeah, that face is what my wife did at home when she saw the video. She had no clue. She's like, oh my gosh. So I show up at meetings and these videos get played, but Aiden's been working for Chick-fil-A for 2 years. He started when he was 14. We homeschool our kids. He's the youngest trainer in Chick-fil-A history. Dan Cathy, who's the CEO, has sent a letter to him. When the corporate comes in, they know him by name because some people go in and they're like, can you believe that this 16-year-old is training me? And then Sherry, the other lady, goes, he was 14 when he trained me. So it's kind of how that goes. He's my retirement plan. He's going to own a Chick-fil-A one day, and I'm going to deliver Chick-fil-A for a living. I don't know. My middle son, Bryce, A.B. Bryce, is 14 and a half. We think he loves Jesus. No, he loves Jesus. And we never know. He's a video game guy, kid. And then my daughter, Kaylin, A.B.C., she's 13. God spoke to her at the age of 9 and said, you're going to be a missionary to Thailand. We were in a service, and she responded at an altar service, and God showed her this picture of a country, an outline of a country. And she said, I know it's over in, you know, East Asia area, over in that area. And so I pulled out my Google map, and I didn't have it where the titles were on there. And she just was able to see the outlines, and she said, that's the country right there, and it was the country of Thailand. And so she is, my kids have been filled with the Holy Spirit. They love Jesus. She has been leading friends to know Jesus since she was in, early elementary school. Her heart and her passion is to love the Lord. She leads on our worship team at 13 years old. And I tell you, listen, don't wait to do something for Jesus until you get old. Where you are right now is the best place to start, right? So I have the privilege of being a husband, a dad. I pastor the dwelling place, and then I'm a community leader in our community. In fact, to the point where I may not be in the business culture of the world, but this morning I had the superintendent of my local schools that texts me and talks to me, and I get the opportunity to pray for him. Yesterday, the mayor of my community called me, and we had about a 20-minute conversation about different things. I have the opportunity to go into schools and businesses and all these places. I have an office at Chick-fil-A, kind of, it's one table. I'm the chaplain. But I get all these opportunities, and you're like, well, of course, you know, but the thing is that my heart is driven to say, man, God's so much greater and bigger than what I understand. And if I'm just going to be available as a conduit for him to use. And tonight I want to talk to you about, in essence, about that. See, I haven't always served in these perfect roles of follower of Christ, of husband, of dad, of pastor. Because really, just last week, I celebrated my oldest son. His spiritual birthday is the same day as mine, the day that we accepted Jesus and our Savior. But I accepted Christ in 1995. I was a sophomore in high school, and I went to a play called Toymaker's Dream. And I watched this play, and I realized I came to a place in my heart where I said, man, what is God wanting to do inside of me? I didn't grow up in the church. I was a good Catholic boy. I was a C&E Christian. I went to church on Christmas and Easter, right? I had a drug problem. My parents drugged me to church on certain holidays. I mean, that's just about how that kind of goes, right? Because grandma made them take us there. But there was something about it. And I grew up playing hockey. I played hockey. I coached hockey as I got older. I was a referee and all these things. But there was something in my world that was just awry and amiss. See, I didn't have the problem in my hometown, in my state of Wisconsin, where I'm from. A city or a town consists of two bars and a Catholic church, okay? I didn't have the alcohol problem that so many of my friends did, but I had a sexual problem. My focus as a young student was to live a lifestyle that wasn't focused on the ladies, but I focused on the guys. My early years of sexual experiences revolved around the time when I was living a homosexual lifestyle. Now today it's popular to come out of the closet and say what you want to say, but in that time in central Wisconsin, you didn't talk about it. My friend Andy, who I played hockey with, and we grew up together. We from I moved into my the town where we moved into this area when I was in third grade, and we found ways to experiment. See, in my mind, I remember all the firsts. I remember all the things that I did the first time. I remember all, I know all of the things that I've snuck around and tried to do, and those pictures still go and roll in my mind. And I said, how in the world can I even stand up here tonight and preach the gospel and expect life to be changed for you when something had to happen inside of me to change? See, Andy and I grew up, and it started real easy and real simple, but eventually things began to go further, it became this full-blown relationship that we had. Sneaking around, we would leave school. I had my license early, and I went through first grade twice because my mom was very sick, and so I was the first student in my class to have a car, and we would leave campus at that point and go to one of our homes and just do whatever we wanted to do. And one thing wasn't enough. And so then we had to continue to try to build and go and do more. And this drive and this desire that was inside of me all this time going on. And yet I was living this secret life that my family and nobody else knew about going on. And here I am in October 22nd, 1995. I'm sitting at an event called Toymaker's Dream, and they're talking about this love of Jesus, and he's got a plan for my life, and I'm rolling in my mind the things that I've just done, even that day. And say, how can a God that you talk about know what everything that I'm doing and what I've done, how could he have a plan for my life? Because the remnants were there. The heart was given. His name is Andy. And he was my one and only partner that I ever had living in the homosexual lifestyle. Hiding things out at school and the way I was living. Today, Andy still lives in that lifestyle. He works at a college in University of Minnesota, and he's a pharmacist, a doctor, and he's married to his partner now, and they've adopted a child, and that's the style, the lifestyle that he's continued. But there was something that happened on that night in October that my life was changed forever. When the gospel was presented, when the plan that Jesus had for my life was presented, it was like that person speaking was speaking exactly right to me, and that nobody else in that room mattered. We were in an auditorium at our high school across town, and there was this play going on. I was in the balcony just off to the right side. It was like nobody else in that building. And as I stood there and they began to speak, the actors began to tell their testimony. There was something inside of me that said, man, there's so much more than what I'm experiencing now. See, my family didn't grow up in church. As I said, we went to church Christmas and Easter. I didn't know what all this was about. I knew the basic Bible stories because of my Catholic background, but I knew that there was something more. And that night when the speaker asked, the actors were asking, I slipped my hand in the air with all my fellow students and some of my classmates sitting around me, and I said, I need this. See, I tried to hide my sexuality and trick people by having a girlfriend and these things, but that never went the way that it should have, because there was other things that were going on in my life. That night I slipped my hand up and I asked Jesus to come into my heart on October 22nd of 1995. I still have the journal that I wrote in when I got home that night, and I said, I don't know what I just did. I know what they said, but I don't know what I just did, but I'm looking forward to whatever's about to come. Friend, my life changed that night. Why did it change? It changed because I said yes. I immediately began to plug in my church and this church that was there that my friends were going to, and I would show up for service on a Wednesday night to youth, and these people put their hands in the air and they prayed differently. Sometimes they spoke in other tongues and they worshiped, and I was like, what in the world? I'm like, I'm the Catholic boy, okay? I just sit in the row, and even at that point I would go to like the Lutheran church sometimes and like, where's the hymn book? They don't have a hymn book. Now maybe y'all don't know what that is, because I mean that was these books that had writings inside of them with songs. Like, right? Okay. I mean, let me just get at me. If you don't know what a telephone with a cord is, I mean, I'm sorry. The cord was not just used for the telephone, it also was used by your parents to let you know you had done something wrong. All right? Some of you don't know what it is to watch television with a commercial, okay? All right, that is the rough life that I grew up in, okay? But God had a plan from the very beginning, and I began to plug in at church, and I told my parents about what had happened, and my parents said, man, this is just a phase. You're just going to go through a phase. And I gave my life to Christ that night, and every time the church was open, I was there. If the youth were having an event, I was there. I was going to a Lutheran church at the point in time in the choir, and I would show up for Lutheran church and take my Bible with me to Lutheran church, and nobody else had their Bible. I'd sing in the choir, and I'd go to this Pentecostal Assembly of God church on a Sunday night, and like people, whoa, yeah, band and all that kind of stuff. And here I was doing all this. I was the student body president. I was the mascot. I was on the television representing our schools and all these kind of things every time that came around. And yet here I was just saying, okay, God, I'm available. If I wasn't at home and I wasn't at work, I was at church. My youth pastor said to me, he said, I see in you what I had in myself, and God's got a plan for your life. And listen, I was going to church as much as I could, and because I was hungry. I had an expectation that God was about to do something in my life. See, we have expectations for the next game or expectations for the next thing, but why not have an expectation for what God wants to do? And so I was standing at the altar on a Sunday night worshiping. I was actually over on this side of the altar, and I was facing this way and just worshiping that night. And as I was there, the leaders, a couple of men from the church came over and they said, Josh, man, God's been doing 6 weeks after I asked Jesus in my heart, they came over and said, Josh, you know something? There's more of God available to you than what you're experiencing. And I'm like, oh my gosh, because see, when I asked Jesus in my life, I can't tell you today that homosexual lifestyle just stopped just like that. Because over the course of the next year, I still was involved in that relationship with Andy, but things began to change and shift because of an experience that happened to me on that night at the altar 6 weeks after I gave my life to Christ. They said, listen, if your shadow is not healing people, there's more of God available. I got all I need. I'm good. Friends, look in the Bible. Google it and say, shadowing, healing people, and see what it says. Not right now. Okay, don't Google right now. But look at it. And it said, as the shadow fell upon people, it said they were healed. And if your shadow's not healing people, then guys, there's more of God available to you tonight. And as I stood at the altar that night, I stood over here and I said, yeah, I just want whatever God's got for me. And like, I can, like, because I was like a little ADD, but I wasn't, you know, diagnosed. And I had all these, like, yeah, we're going to do this, okay? I mean, y'all were diagnosed all a long time ago. They were still trying to figure out the meds on us. They tried them out on us. And they said, there's more of God available. And they opened up their Bible to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And I'm just standing there during this time of worship. And they began to look at it, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And they said, What does it say? But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and even to the remotest part or the ends of the earth. You receive power. That word power is the word for dynamite. You receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you be my witnesses in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the place where you live. Jerusalem is that place where you're at. And then Judea, like the next, each of these spheres, God's going to send you. And you're saying, man, how do I reach my friends? How do I share what God's doing in my life with somebody else? He says, you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And I'm like, well, come on, I want the power, right? Okay, I want it. Just bring you, like, you start pulling up, you're hiking them up, and you're like ready to go. I hike them up, okay? And that was the Steve Urkel days when I was there. All right. Sorry, I'm so old. Thank you. But witnessing is the ability to be able to share Christ with others and those that are around you. See, sometimes the only Bible that your friends and people are going to read is the life that you're living. You say, well, I mean, I know that none of y'all have Facebook because I'm old, okay? So, But you do other things where you show these things, and the things you put out there, that's the representation of your life. And people are looking how you're responding, and you're saying, how do I be better and follow Jesus better in my life? Friends, it's by having this next step. How many of you like cake in this room? Anybody like cake? How many like cake? And like, it just, cake comes out of the oven, and you're like, oh, come on, somebody. You know, it's about to go down right here. Listen, this is like the doughboy belly. Okay, and we just go for it. But you know what's better about than just cake that just comes out of the oven? When you put frosting on top of it. Come on. And see, listen, salvation in Jesus Christ is enough. That's what you need for access to heaven, to an eternal life in heaven. That's what you, salvation is enough. Chocolate cake is good enough. But what's better is when we have chocolate cake with frosting. And friends, that's what I'm talking about tonight, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God says, listen, He gave His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to you and I, that we can respond. But then He says, listen, I'm going to go one more up on this. I'm going to raise my game, and I'm going to send the promised Holy Spirit, which is going to come, and He's going to empower you to go and do what I've called you to do. See, I can't do everything I do on my own ability. I can't be a good pastor and a good dad and a good husband and all these things in a community leader on my own ability. I need something that empowers me to go do it. And I'm not wanting power just for power's sake. I'm wanting it to say, God, I'm here. I'm available. I just want to be a conduit for you to use. See, some of us, we need to stop. Listen, some of you need to stop dictating what you want God to do in your life and how you want Him to respond to you. And you're sitting there telling Him what He's going to do next and how He's going to move in your life. And He said, would you just put your hands up and surrender and let me have my way in and through you? Stop trying to be the plan. Because listen, if we need a Savior because we can't get out of this place on our own. But I want to enjoy every effort and every place that happens. So we talk about Acts 1:8, Acts 2:4, 2, Acts chapter 2 is where this goes. To receive power and the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And then they're gathering here. This is after Easter, they're gathering and they're at this place that God told them to go to. And it says, when the day of Pentecost, these guys, I'm standing at the altar and they're like, okay, the power of God is there and you want more of God? I'm like, yes. And so then they say, well, it's about what's going to happen. Some of you just need to believe this tonight, that God's about to do something in your world. Sat there back there last tonight and was just, the word of the Lord to you is, listen, let go. Let go and let God be God in your life. Some of you are here, you've come from all portions. Some of you are like, you're Dayton bound, you grew up here, you know, you're all here. But some of you have come from far places to this place. Why? Because in this moment, God's about to ready to redirect some things in your life, if you're open to it. And that's where I was. Here I was 6 weeks after accepting Jesus as my Savior, and I began to read this. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. They're all there. Jesus says, listen, go to the place where my Father is about ready to give you this free gift. And they go to that place. They have no clue what's about to happen. See, some of you walked in here and you're like, who is this guy? He has no clue. You don't have a clue about what's ready to happen in your life. You're at the same place that they were at when they walked in that room. And in that moment when they're seeking God, God shows up. The Holy Spirit comes into that room. He's the third part of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit comes in that room and their lives are changed. It says that they heard what sounded like the blowing of a violent wind. They saw tongues of fire begin to separate and rest upon each one of their heads. And it was in that moment that they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in other tongues. Why? Number one, because God loves you and He has a plan for your life. Number two is God doesn't want you to do this on your own. He wants to empower you and give you the strength to make it all the way through the end. Listen, this body is not a body that's a body of a runner, okay? Come on, what are you laughing about, right? Some of you aren't either, okay? So get off of it, all right? All right, yeah. I'm this huffing up. I just ran. I trained and ran for a half Ironman last year. Stupidest thing I could have ever done. But it's a 70.2 miles. 1.2 mile swim, 56 mile bike or something like that, and 13 mile run. Yeah, but I didn't finish. But I'm like a quarter marathon Ironman guy because I swam the 1.2 miles. I bike 53, but have you ever seen those little seats on those bikes? Hello. Okay, and then they chip gravel, and then I get every time to my bath, pass it on your left. All right, big guy, pass it on your left. They kept doing it. I'm like, when do I get to pass somebody? Well, there was an ambulance and somebody had fallen. I said, pass it on your right. Woo! come on. So yes, true story. But I did that, and the whole time in my mind, and I'm dreaming about what it is going to be like to cross the end line. But listen, we've all run, right? We've run different things, and the goal is not just to get to the finish line. The goal is to get all the way through the line. You don't run, oh, yeah. Now, like when I run, I'm, you know, and I'm to the end. And I don't stop at the line because somebody else is going to pass me. I run all the way through it. And some of you are just trying to get to the end of the line, but God's saying, listen, I want you to get all the way through it. And this is what we're talking about. They saw what it seemed, and this empowerment comes on, and they begin to speak in these tongues that they had never heard about. This is all brand new. They never heard this before. They never knew what was about to happen. And this is what took place. Continue on to the next slide for me here. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation on heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Side note, time out, side note. I've got friends that have experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They've gone into Mexico. Like, listen, they're from Moline, Illinois. Anybody know John Deere tractor? That's where Moline, Illinois is, okay, where they make those. And they're from Moline, Illinois, and they went into Mexico, and as they were there, they began to pray in tongues, and they were speaking the language fluently. No interpreters. That's what happened. So because each one heard their own language in their own tongue and had been spoken, utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans, like they're unlearned people? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, whatever, all those people, blah, 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 blah. Keep going. Bunch of big words. Y'all in college, you can figure them out. Okay. Is that right? We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. See that right there in the middle? We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. It's like you're going into a foreign place and declaring the wonders of God. What do the tongues do? They glorify God. It's a prayer language that's between you and God that the enemy has no way to understand. You ever feel like you pray out and then you feel like, man, somebody heard the Russians were listening and they interpreted or something, right? You know? I mean, that's what this is. When you speak in tongues, the enemy can't understand what you're saying. It's a language where the deepest part of me cries out for the deepest part of God. And the two of my spirit, because when it says that we're created in the image of God, it's not, praise Jesus, it doesn't look like us, okay? Because some of us don't look too good, okay? So let's just go ahead. But it's the spirit inside of us that it mirrors the image of God. And the Spirit of God and our spirit inside of us commune together when we begin to speak. And see, there's a place, a private place where this language is, and that's what we're talking about tonight. There's also a place of the gifts that you can talk about later, of public setting. But tonight, God is saying, listen, I want to baptize you with the language that only your spirit and my spirit can understand. And you're like, what in the world is going on in here? Amazed and perplexed, verse 12. They asked one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, they have had too much wine. Then Peter stood up with the 11. Now, the last time we heard about Peter was when Jesus, the rooster crows three times and he denies Christ. What happened in Peter's life that he was willing to stand up in front of all these people? And he said this, fellow Jews and all you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. You know what? If you've never taken Greek, that word all means all. Okay? Just let's get it. If you're all, I'm all. Okay? It's not like y'all or fixin' or, you know, it's all of us. All y'all. Was in the right. I will pour out my spirit on all y'all people. There you go, Southern. Your sons and daughters, Vanna, thank you, will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus, the son of Nazareth, has a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him. As you yourselves know, this man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Listen, God's got an amazing plan for you tonight. He's got an amazing, I don't care how old you are, I don't care where you've come from, I don't care how you grew up, but tonight you can control this moment that you are in, that's available to say, listen, you have a decision to make. Am I all right with where I'm at with God, or do I want something more? See, listen, friend, on that night when I accepted Jesus into my life, I surrendered every part of me to him. And then on that night, 6 weeks later, when I stood at the altar and they read this to me, and they said, listen, we believe God's got more for you. I said, yes, Lord, here I am. And they began to pray for me and with me. And as they prayed with me, my life was changed. As I stood there, I began to feel this warmth come over my body. I began to see some words or phrases go through my mind, and I'm like, what in the world is about to happen? It wasn't like God reached into my mouth and grabbed my tongue and started moving it around, all these things. I've never experienced that. Some people have. I don't know. But I said, listen, I don't understand. I didn't speak in tongues before I got saved. And so if that's your theology, well, I didn't do it before. I didn't do it before I got saved. But God, I'm here. I want everything you have for me. And I want to be a powerful witness for you in my school and what I'm about to do. That night I was baptized in the Holy Spirit and my life was changed. I went from that place. I already had a voice and a platform and all these things, and God said, opened up doors for me. I started programs in my school. I would stand up and lead different things and pray and begin to do this. And I began to speak in my youth group because of the things that happened. Listen, I wish I could stand here tonight and tell you that at that moment in my life and my testimony of living this lifestyle, that everything stopped, of this sexual desire I had. I can't tell you that it completely did. But I can tell you this, that when the Holy Spirit came into my life and it was an overflowing of his presence, that which was opposing God began to be pushed out of my life. Over the course of the next year, God removed every relationship and friendship that revolved around that desire. And by the end of that next year, as I sat at my youth pastor's table and I said, PK, I just want you to know this. I said, 1 year ago, when I gave my life to Christ, this is the person and the lifestyle that I was living. He's like, no way, that's not true. I've never seen that inside of you. And he said, because of what God's done in my life. I wish I could stand here today and say, I don't deal with any temptation or anything like that again, because the world says that, man, if you have any temptation, that you're fully gay, you're fully homosexual, you're fully whatever. Listen, that's not true. Just because I deal with temptation does not mean it's sin. Temptation is one thing because the enemy's got a plan to try to disrupt you tonight. And some of you are sitting here and saying, God's saying, listen, I've got all this for you, and you're trying to focus on all this other stuff. And God's saying, just listen to my voice tonight. I have to submit these thoughts and these plans and these other things that are of my past. And I say, God, here these things are of you. If you can use this dirty, rotten sinner, then I'm available. I'm humbled tonight to stand before you, but it means nothing. It's not about my account. It's not about who I am tonight, but it's about who he is. And I stand here tonight as one that can testify that what you just read on that screen is true. My life has been changed because of what happened at that altar when I said, God, I know there's more of you and I want whatever it is. Friends, tonight, I don't want you to walk out these doors. You came as you are, but I want you to leave as you've always wanted to be. I don't want you to walk out this door without saying, God, I'm fully in and I want whatever you have for me. In just a moment, some of you are going to come and you're going to respond. And some of you are going to come and respond and you're going to give your life to Christ, because that's the first thing that has to happen. If you haven't given your life to Christ, that's where it starts. You're going to walk out of here tonight a new man, a new woman, because God loved me as a plan for your life. If that's all you have heard me say tonight, know this, God loves you and has a plan for your life. But some of you are going to walk out of this place tonight and it's going to be a whole new world. The things that you thought you saw and the things that you thought you knew, when you open up the Word of God, it's going to come alive before you. When you stood up there and you've shared with some of your friends and you're like, what in the world's going on, friends? It's going to have a whole new impact and a new power, because it says you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Tonight, some of your worlds are about ready to be rocked. But the question is, are you willing to allow God to rock them? It doesn't make a difference who's sitting next to you, who brought you, why you're here tonight, but the reason why you're here is because God set you up. You're here on purpose because he has a plan for your life. You may begin to see words go through your mind, speak those babies out. That's God speaking through you. That's that word. It may be when a baby begins to speak, that baby doesn't know all these words, just as goo goo gaga, whatever. And I'm not saying that's like, okay, whatever. But they say mom or dad, whatever. I'm not saying that. But that baby begins to speak. Listen, as those words come to your mind, it may be one syllable or one word. You just speak it out and say, God, if that's the words you've got for me, then that's what I'm going to speak. Because my spirit is hungry to commune with your spirit. God, I want to know what you want for me. I want to know your plan that you want for me. Some of you are still trying to figure out your majors and where you're going to end up, and you're trying to figure out, listen, submit that to God and say, God, I want whatever you want for me tonight. Friends, I want to invite the worship team to come back up here. Don't just be satisfied with the chocolate cake. I'd be hungry for the frosting on that cake too. It's good just to have a relationship with Jesus, but listen, friends, it's so much better to have that frosting on the cake. And some of you, you're like, well, what's about to happen? Here's what's going to happen. I'm not here to surprise you. I'm not here. It's not anything magical that's going to take place. I'm going to open up the door here for you in just a moment to come if you want to receive prayer. And we're going to pray with you and just say, okay, what's God about to do? And you're just going to come and say, listen, Jesus, here I am. God's got a free plan for you, and it's not a phone, but if God has a free gift for you, what do? You reach out and you grab it. You reach out and take it. There's no strings attached to this gift. The only string is the giving your heart completely to him and saying, God, here I am. So you come and you respond to this in just a moment, and you just don't just stand there. This is a vocal prayer where we're bold and we begin to say it. And you begin to pray it out, and some people are going to come and pray with you. Excuse me. They're going to pray with you. And you begin to pray, and it says, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. You may start to feel this thing rise up within you, and then you're like, you can't hold it back anymore. Just speak it out. Just release it. And listen, you may start to cry. You may start to whatever. I don't care what. But just say, God, I want everything you have for me. My shadow's not healing people. I want what you got for me tonight. You know, if you're riding a bicycle, if I get on my bicycle and I just get on my bicycle and I put both my feet, and if I turn to the right, what happens? I fall over. If I just put my feet there and I turn to the right. But if I get on my bicycle and I start pedaling and I turn to the left, what do? I start to go to the left. When we ask Jesus in our heart, it's a place of faith. When we say, God, I'm willing to accept the gift that you have for me tonight of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's this acceptance of faith and saying, listen, I'm going to step out, and God, I'm trusting that you're going to meet me right where I'm at. And friends, tonight, I didn't drive all the way from Toledo just to make you feel good and make you laugh about a couple stories and a couple things that I said. I came from Toledo because my church is praying for you tonight. Because we know what it's like when we empower and feel and sense the presence of God. They may not know your name as they're praying in Toledo right now, but they're saying, God, you've got something for these students tonight. So tonight, I want you to just pop your head, put your head down for a moment, close your eyes, I don't know, however you do it. And you're in this room, and something I talked about tonight just stirred the pot. You haven't given your life to Christ yet. Tonight, this is where it starts. It starts with you saying, Jesus, I want the gift that you've got for me, but I'm going to start tonight with opening my heart to you, and would you come into my life tonight? Friend, I had to do it on that October 22nd night in 1995. I had to say, yes, I'm giving you my life. Tonight, I don't care where you come from and what you've done, but Jesus said, I've brought you here for a purpose. I want to give my life to him. So tonight, this is your opportunity. Would you commit your life to him? You've never done that before, and you want to do that tonight. I want to just pray with you, and nobody else is looking around. I want you to just slip your hand up or look at me, and God wants to do it in your life. If that's you, slip your hand up in the air just so I know who it is tonight. Anybody in this room, yeah? Okay, who else? Anybody else in this room tonight? Don't be looking around. You're good. I got you. Anybody else tonight? Tonight, how many of you in this room are saying, listen, I want whatever God has for me. I'm willing to do whatever God has for me. I want everything that he has. If that's you, slip your hand up tonight. Jesus, we just come before you tonight. We surrender ourselves. God, would you stir our hearts tonight? Those students say, you're here, and you say, listen, I've never experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I've never experienced that, but I want to experience that. So am I all right, Heather? Am I doing all right? And you want to experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit tonight, I want you to come up here in the front, right here with me. Just form a line right across the front. You can look up, anybody that wants to look up. If you want to come, we want to pray with you tonight. That you be power of the witnesses for the gospel. Come on, who's going to come up tonight and respond? You want prayer? We want to pray with you if you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I had to stand at the altar one time myself and respond. Come on, it's the first step. What's it going to take? You satisfied with where you're at, or you want to jump in and say, God, I want everything that you have for me? Come on. Well, come on. Who else? Others? There's others here that you're just waiting. Yeah, come on. Thank you. You're just face the front. Come here and stand in the front. Face the front for a moment. Come on. Face this. Face those guys at the back wall. Go ahead and face the other way. So you don't have to look at all those people back there. You're eyeing it down, Victor. Good to see you up here, man. Who else? Come on, there's some more of you that need to be up here. We'll get done. We'll dismiss you here in a minute. Don't leave this place without everything that God has for you. Some of our leaders that you've been filled with the whole baptized in the Holy Spirit, come on up and pray with these guys in the front. Come on. Some of our leaders, those of you guys that are up here, this is about you saying, listen, you're vocalizing this, communicating this tonight to him. You're here to pray. Begin to pray out loud. Begin to lead. Begin to just speak those things out. Who else? Anybody else up here for prayer? Anybody else want to come up to receive prayer tonight?